Tim Laird. Hello.
Oh, it's Janelle.
Is this Sandy?
It's Janelle.
Oh, hi, Janelle.
Hello. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Good.
It may be tough. I'm on a cell phone tonight, so.
Ah.
I'm actually still at parent-teacher conferences.
Oh, my God, Kim. Your arm's going to get tired.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to get down to the car and drive.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Good evening.
This is Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Martin.
Jim.
Hey, Jim. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. This is Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
Welcome.
This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Martin.
Richard. Hi, Don.
John Satriano.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Hello, John.
Hello.
You know, this sounds like the Waltons.
John Pauly.
Good night, big boy.
Who are we missing here?
Will Penman.
That's who we're missing.
Is Gary?
Holly?
Did I hear Holly join us?
Yes.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Holly. Chuck there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Is Sandy there, too?
I haven't heard Sandy on yet.
Okay.
Janelle here?
I'm here.
Do you have the new comp proposal?
Do I have the what?
The new comp proposal.
No.
All right, I'll check your email. I'm sending it down to you.
Honey, I'm not plugged in. I can't get access to the internet.
All right, we'll add it in later then.
Okay.
And please let, this is Kim. Please, anyone let me know if I have noise on my line because I'm on my cell phone. I'm just leaving parent-teacher conferences now.
Sounds good. Clear right now.
Sounds good. I'm also on a cell phone.
And I'm not on my accustomed phone either. It would be an interesting evening.
I just got done talking to parents for 2 hours.
So. You've got a full night ahead of you.
Yes. Yes, I do. I haven't even been home yet.
Sandy Brown.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
So we've got Sandy. Do we have Jerry?
I haven't heard him on yet either.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Sandy. We're always greeting each other the same way.
Kim, are you going to Cornell?
I cannot.
Uh-huh.
We have 2 gigs that we have to DJ for.
Well, it looks like I'm going to be getting to Cornell. I'm looking forward to that.
Yay. It was an awesome fest. I'm sorry I'm not going.
Paul and I are going to make it up, too.
Chuck?
Yeah?
Oh, man, I am jonesing for a Philly cheesesteak.
Martin.
God, that was so good.
You said you are going to Cornell, Chuck?
Yeah, I'll be up there.
Okay.
You going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
You're always there.
Kyle's coming with me.
This is the advantage of retiring in your 30s, is you can go to everything.
Do you hear me, though? Kyle is riding up with me.
That one. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
It should be fun. Should be a good trip.
It will be. Once I get there, it'll be fine.
It's a long trip.
Well, I guess that
Hey, Don, did Dave Walbridge ask for the code?
No.
Oh.
As far as I can tell.
You check your email in the past 3-4 hours?
No, I don't actually have access to my email at the moment.
That might be it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Did
he send the board an email?
No, he sent down an email, it looks like, from the general forum. What is
that?
I have not seen that since this morning.
Okay.
I'm not at home, so I don't have the same access that I would normally have.
What's the time zone on the time when it's sent?
Usually the time zone of the sender.
Well, where's Dave from? Because it was sent at 4:15.
He's at Minneapolis. I mean, he's in Milwaukee.
At Central Time?
I got it here. I'm gonna send him an email and let him know the code, okay?
Okay. The time is displayed in your local time.
Okay, well, then he sent it this afternoon.
Mine says he posted at 3:15. I think that means Mountain Time or something.
Yeah, at 4:15, so...
Well, I suggest that we... So I'm going to send this to him now. So... Hey, I'll just post it on the forum and everybody can call in. How's that? Well, don't forget, then we're paying 7 cents per person. It'll be a gesture towards goodwill.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are we still waiting for Jerry here?
Did anyone get an email saying if he was going to be absent tonight?
Nope. Okay. Nothing to the board, anyway.
Okay, because I haven't checked my email since 3 o'clock. I'm also going to be hitting a spot on our road here for about 10 feet that sometimes it knocks me off of the cell phone, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm going to try and drive through it very quickly.
Okay.
Hold your breath.
Sometimes if I go through it fast enough, it doesn't knock me off.
Well, we'll hope there's no police in your path.
No, but there's a slow car in front of me.
Now drop back about 200 yards and then speed up.
It's a good idea.
Okay, it's done.
You want me to call Dave Walbridge and let him know the number?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
All right, I'm going to put you guys on hold. I'll be back in a second.
Okay. Hi, Martin.
Hey, Sandy.
How are you?
Could be better.
Does anybody know anybody who evacuated or in L.A.?
Well, Barry Backler is in the midst of the Malibu thing. I don't know exactly where.
Yeah. Who was that?
I sent him an email.
I mean,
might have been somebody hanging up or maybe somebody coming in. Probably we lost somebody there.
Did anybody just come on?
That could have been Kim.
Oh, yeah.
The 10 feet.
Hi, Will.
Hi.
How's school?
It was going pretty well until I got my midterm back for one of my classes today.
Oh, God.
But,
which one? What class?
I'm taking an 18th century poetry class and the way I analyzed Eloise and Abelard.
Oh, no.
I was looking for, so ended up with a C on that paper, which was pretty disappointing.
Are you going to China?
I am. It's
Kim Larry.
In increasing levels of certain, like, I am fully confirmed from U.S. side of things.
Did
and
you say in April? When did you say?
No, actually, I'll be leaving in January.
Wow.
I'm going to be doing a spring and summer term.
How long are you going to be gone?
A total of 7 months.
Wow.
You're
going to
be calling in from China?
So. Maybe there's some way you can hook into the internet telephone or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some way to do it. My mom.
7 months? That's a long time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I've been studying Chinese for this is my third semester now.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, 7 months would be a good amount of time to really, like, get in the language. But not too long where I'd, like, be, like, totally homesick or anything American. So,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I think it should be good.
Oh, my gosh, Will. That's awesome.
Oh, no luck with Dave Walbridge.
All right. The effort's been made. Still not finding Jerry on the line here. Do you want to start without him at this point?
You better.
Yeah. I agree.
We're 10 minutes into. So I'll call the meeting to order. By my watch, it's 11 past 8. Turn off the roll call. Vaughn Lewis is here. Kim Laird.
Here.
Gary Martin is listening. Andy Brown.
Here.
Bill Penman.
Here.
Chuck Hawley.
Here.
John Satriano.
Here.
I think we have Jim Maxwell out there.
Yes.
And Molly Greeley.
Here.
And Richard.
Here.
And Martin.
Yep.
And who did I miss?
Danelle here.
Yeah. Danelle.
Hello.
How could I forget? Okay, so let's get going. The first thing will be approve the agenda. I believe there's unchanged from what I put on the web. Does anybody have any variant to add to that? If not, can somebody propose moving to the agenda? Don't all jump at once.
Oh, Don, what do we need?
We need approval of the agenda.
Okay, I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay. Second?
Couple seconds.
Are there any anyone against? Any abstentions? Right, the agenda is approved. So the first order is the approval of previous minutes. Motion to approve the previous minutes, please.
I'll move that, too.
Second, please.
Sandy, second.
Okay. Any amendments? I would suggest an amendment in, I guess it's 6D. where we previously said Don Lewis moved that the board continue to examine the situation. To make that a little clearer, I would change that to Don Lewis moved that the board continue to examine the request submitted by Dave Davis.
Could you repeat that change again, Don?
Don Lewis moved that the board continue to examine a request submitted by Dave Davis.
This is a change to last month's minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where last month, Don Lewis moved that the board continue to examine the situation. Which doesn't really give enough information.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree to that amendment.
Okay, are we ready to vote on the minutes? No further discussion?
Nope.
Anyone against? Any abstentions? The minutes of the September 12th meeting are approved. Move on to reports. Holly, can you tell us where finance is these days?
Yes. I sent out the monthly metrics this afternoon, and I'll go through those really quickly because there was really very little activity during September. Our net cash flow during September was negative $4,725.11. giving us year-to-date a positive cash flow of $20,866. Net income during September also was negative, negative $15,859, and that's just because it's a really slow month for income, and we had a magazine go out, so we had the Juggle magazine expense. We sold 30 memberships during September, and my dogs are going to participate in this conversation as well. That's about it. We had a couple of T-shirt sales, $90 in T-shirt sales, $5 in Juggle magazine sales, a little bit of video income, and a little bit of video expense.
Jerry Martin.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
There you are.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, everyone.
Other than that, there's not much to report. I am up to date, finally, on all the bill paying, et cetera, and so Q3 financials will be done shortly. I've sent out the last payment or the balance due to Alan Plotkin, so that bill is all taken care of. I've made very little progress on the budget for next year for two reasons. One is that I didn't get much response to the emails that I sent out, and so really the only thing going into the budget is kind of what we did last year. There are a few items that people expressed interest in, but none of them really had any costs associated with them to speak of, except for perhaps a magazine wrapper. So I will put together a budget based on this year's expenditures for next year, with the exception of the festival, which I still need to get together with Richard on and figure out what that piece of the budget is going to look like. And that's it.
Holly, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sandy. online number 37, video expense, is this monthly metric, does that include paying Alan?
No, that's in October.
Okay. And also, so for the end of the year, what will be reflected is the $8,000 that will be reduced from video expenses to Naranja, is that correct?
Yeah, that'll be a reduction of video income, and that's not
okay.
In there yet either.
Okay, so we are going to have quite a significant loss in video this year.
We are, because video income will be down by that credit for Naranja, and of course we have some sales towards the end of the year, so it'll go up some, but probably not as much as it's going to go down. And then video expense, we have considerable expense still coming because October I paid Alan, and then we have the duplication bills coming once that process is finished. So
video expense is going to go up considerably between now and the end of the year.
And plus, we wrote off $8,000 of our inventory because of the DVDs we're no longer selling, correct?
Yeah, that's already reflected in these numbers. That's in the August numbers.
Yeah, right. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Holly, this is Kim. I just have one addition for you because I did not get this figure out to you, but the Juggle Club in a Box idea that I said I would champion, I've done some research on the, you know, possible cost of that, and just for running papers off of that, it won't come to more than $1,000 to do that.
Okay.
I apologize for not getting that to you sooner.
That's okay.
Let's see. I have a question, actually, now that you've mentioned the word champion. Holly, is it your understanding that a board member would be the champion for the ideation process, the ideas that have not yet been owned by people? Or?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think someone on the board has to be responsible for each project. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to do the work, but there certainly has to be a board liaison.
Okay.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Right.
Any further questions for Holly? Thank you very much, Holly.
Thank you, Paul.
Jim, do you have something for membership?
Most certainly. The number as of today is 1,700 exactly. That's down from 1,734 in September. It's, I think, probably within our normal fluctuation range that we tend to see. It's been a very slow couple of months post-festival overall in terms of new memberships in particular and even for renewals. As far as the transition from the Sullivans to Will and Rhonda Murray, Mike has had one training session with them in Long Beach, and according to Mike, they are doing a swell job keeping up with store renewals and joins. He will return to Long Beach in November to train them on data dumps and renewal of postcard orders, renewal postcard orders from USPS. Marilyn will soon send me their remaining supplies, stamps and so forth, since they will no longer be needing them. The Murrays have a copy of FileMaker Pro and are using it, and I believe they've already been reimbursed by Holly. One thing, Holly, that I was going to ask is if we have paid ASCAP yet.
We paid ASCAP in June. They're just confused, and John is trying to get that straightened out.
Because I got another another bill dated 10/20. I just picked that up today. So, and they're continuing to add a surcharge every month that they show that this isn't paid. So
yeah, it was paid in June.
Okay. And then my question is about the stickers and decals. We had talked about that back in, I believe, in June, about possibly ordering some new stickers and decals to send to new members as well as to have some for merchandise shipments. Do we still want to pursue that?
I think we probably do.
I think so.
Okay. Then I will... I think the last quote that I got, and I think this was corroborated with Martin's investigation into the web source that he found, it was going to cost us around $700 to $900 for 5,000 stickers, and a little bit more if we go with the Klingons, or I can't remember what they're called. I know it's not Klingons, but we might do half and half of $2,500 each, but that's going to drive the price up because if we can order 5,000 of either one, then that's going to be the most cost effective.
Jim, this is Kim.
Uh-huh.
When I was at the Bloomsburg Fair about a week or so ago, there was a company there that does decals, and they do custom decals, and they can do one or 100,000. I did not get a price from them because the person working the stand didn't have a bulk price list there. So if you would like to just see what they might, maybe we can do less than 5,000 and, you know, not have to have so much of a bulk on hand.
You bet. Send me that information and I'll certainly look into it.
I will do that. I will do that tomorrow.
Okay. The final thing I have to report on is the project of data synchronization. Chan Wilson has installed Civic CRM and Drupal on a net accessible host, and he and David Landown and Matt Vance are currently tinkering and are definitely in the evaluation and development phase. They're working on prioritizing the various phases of this process and hope to come up with a timeline soon. We will hopefully be scheduling a con call soon to further that end. But things are definitely moving. They got off to kind of a slow start, but looks like things are definitely progressing now.
That's great news, Jim. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Jim, I have one comment, and that is I just read that FileMaker 9 is out and has some ability to communicate with an SQL, external SQL database.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've looked into that or heard about that.
I've not. I've got FileMaker 8, but I believe that Will and Rhonda bought FileMaker 9.
I would imagine they did. Since,
yeah.
You know, that's the,
so I don't know, and actually I think that FileMaker 8 even had that capability, but where we are we're really losing money is in the hosting of the FileMaker.
No, but the point is that if with that ability, it should be able to talk to a MySQL database on the
right.
IJA website.
Right.
I mean, that's my guess. I don't really know if that's true.
Right, and I believe that the data sync project that they're working on with Civic CRM and Drupal, that's the database will be a MySQL file. The Murrays and I can interface with using FileMaker, and then of course the store will also be able to interface with that, and then the website and the forums as well.
Okay, they seem to be advertising this as a feature of FileMaker 9, so that implies that it's not in FileMaker 8. That's just what I wanted to find out. And I don't know if it's useful or not, and if the stuff they're doing is, you know, even better. So.
Sure. Well, if it comes to that, then we can certainly look into just getting an upgrade for me, which is not quite as expensive as buying a new software package outright.
Right.
But Mike and Marilyn Sullivan, I think, were running FileMaker 7 or maybe even FileMaker 6, but they are, you know, phasing out of the picture, so they won't need an upgrade.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jim.
You bet. Good night.
Night.
Good night. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Store, Sandy.
Store. Okay, well, I got an order from Naranja, and they are going to order 100 of our 2007 Festival 2-packs. We are going to, in essence, reimburse them in full for the $8,000 of their inventory. So what we'll do is we've given them a credit. So we'll apply the 100 DVDs and the shipping towards their credit, and the remainder will be paid to them in cash by Holly by the end of the year so we can close that out for 2007 books.
Good.
Okay. So I'd like to try to get Almedia to send their stock to them directly. That's a possibility. And other than that, I think I'm going to have Scott or David put a notice on the website on the store that store orders won't resume being filled until about the 27th or the end of November, I would say. I'm leaving for Asia next week, and I won't be back till the end of November.
Sandy, what's the non-member price on the 2-pack for 2007?
I can't remember right now. Holly Martin, do you know that?
member price is $40. I'm guessing it's maybe 50. I don't know.
Maybe. And then what we're going to do is
is 30, isn't it? And the non-member price is 40.
Oh, is that right?
I thought that's what it was. And so are we going to give them, are we crediting them the wholesale price?
Yes.
Okay. So the wholesale price, it's the wholesale non-member price.
Yeah, it's 50% of the non-member price. So if the non-member price is 40, then they're ordering $2,000.
Exactly.
Out of, I can't remember how much our credit was, but it was a lot.
It's about 8,000.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
So we're going to take a big bite on that this year also. Other than that, that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Festival.
Hey, hello. I'm in Tennessee outside on a cell phone, so if I go away, there's a possibility that will happen.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Sandy. How you doing?
Great.
I would like to preface my report by telling you 2 weekends ago I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, at a convention for special events planners like myself, and they had a speaker from Winston-Salem, the CVB there, and she got up, and they were talking about how associations for all kinds of weird things, and she used an example of a great group that they worked with and had an incredible relationship with, and it was the IJA.
Yay.
So it was pretty cool, small world. And then afterwards I got to go up there and say, by the way, I'm part of that world, and that was pretty cool. So,
funny is that?
Yeah, so they loved us as much as we loved them, and that was pretty cool. I will start, I'll try to be brief. Went to the site. The site is wonderful. You can park your car, never have to leave it again. Everything's connected. There's a place for Renegade. That's very nice. The theater is a theater. It's a beautiful 1895, I think, theater, and they have touring Broadway shows there, so it's perfect for us. It really is. I'm very, very excited about the site. What else can I tell you? As you know, Chuck's on the line with us, and Chuck is doing the new rules for the championships that I'm also very excited about, something that I was very personally interested in, and I think he's done a great job from what I've read on the forum, and I think it's going to be a positive for the IJA.
Yeah.
And I did speak with Craig, and we had a very civil, very nice conversation, and that all went very good. I'm just jumping around to things. The only performer I have inked, if you want to say it that way, is Casey Bamer. I am in discussion with, I'm going to slay this guy's name, Niles Duniker. I don't know if you know that name. I think he's been at the IJA before. And Kevin Brooking, who's a juggler and also a world-class clown, an expatriate, but I'm trying, he's a very good friend of mine, trying to get him to come back. Don Lewis has been in discussion with Quebec Circus School, and I think that's still proceeding forward, and I hope it comes to fruition, and that'll be the first half of the Cascade of Stars show, if that happens that way. Vendors, by the way, just in case anybody asks you, vendors will be in the room with the jugglers. That's my decision, and I always thought they should be in the room with the jugglers. I think that comes from a concern about space, and I am looking into a portable stand-up prop bag holder for people to put their stuff in. But ultimately, the vendors will be in the room with the jugglers. The vendors themselves want that, of course. And I do think, especially for young jugglers, I think the vendors are part of the magic of coming to the convention. They're all there in one place, and you can walk right over and shop. As far as the budget, I'll say my real daytime job, I mostly produce outdoor events, which come to an end this Saturday, I'm very excited to say. And then my real daytime job will not take so much of my time, and then I will be talking to Hallie. If you just want to go off of basically sort of what she said, I'm really basing most of my budget so far on John's budget. It's a good budget, and I think we're going to have pretty much the same size of convention. I think we might have – I think the location of Lexington is going to benefit us a lot. The only thing I can tell you off the top of my head, I don't have my computer open, is I do want to put the trading cards into the budget. I think it's $1,200. And I do think the trading cards are a wonderful bang for our buck. At the St. Louis Convention, which was just a couple weekends ago, there were two people there that had their trading cards. They were showing everybody. And the people, they had them signed by the people who were at the convention. And I think that's a really ongoing kind of marketing and creates a historic kind of value to those trading cards. I think that's a great, I love the trading cards. And Sandy, I finally did get to see the trading cards because they had.
Well, I need to get you a set, Richard. I'm sorry. I haven't
got
them in the mail
yet. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, they had them, and it was very exciting. And I think, you know, as much as we have historic things on there, I think if we can make sure we have a number of the same people who are going to be at our convention where you can get them signed, I think that's a really ongoing, has some value.
Right.
And then the other thing is, the other big thing, I guess, is Bill Barr is, and I are working on a public show on the Monday of the week as we start for the public in conjunction with the Children's Hospital in Lexington. And all we're going to do is provide performers, and they're doing all the other work, including tickets, and we're going to try to raise like $25,000 for the Children's Hospital, and then we can have a nice photo op with us, the IJA, handing a check to the Children's Hospital, and I think that's a really interesting. It's at the very beginning of the week. We'll get a lot of publicity out of it. I think when we go into other cities to negotiate their cities, if we can show that we go into their community and in addition to the regular economic impact the convention has, that we actually work with the hospital and that and put on a really nice show and raise funds for that hospital. I think that's a very very good thing to do every city and be a leverage point when we talk to cities about booking our convention there. And Bill is totally, yes, you can.
Is this public show for jugglers as well? I mean,
well, it's really for the public at large because a lot of people won't even be there yet on Monday. It's a public show, so jugglers can buy a ticket to it. It's not going to be part of any of our packet or anything.
Okay.
It's just to raise funds for that city. And Bill and myself, and Bill mostly, has already lined up a number of jugglers who want to perform in it. And we think over the course of time it will be a badge of honor to have performed in the public show that's now a little more significant than just going to the hospital. By the way, Bill does have a plan that we will still go to the hospital on a separate day. A few jugglers will still do that. But I'm excited. I think it is a very great idea, and Bill's very excited and very capable.
This is John. That's exactly what we tried to do this year, but kind of came at it a little too late. So Bill got together what he could this year, and that's why we made him benefit show coordinator at the festival, because he was great at the job. He was great at putting the show together, and you know, this is the plan to build this up over the next few years.
And that's what he said, and we are, you know, we do have enough time now. And the CVB in Lexington is incredible. Bon Jacobs is an incredible mm-hmm. person and is helping Bill. And then the contact from the Children's Hospital, who I can't think of his name right now, is also very excited about this and is doing a lot of the work as far as promoting the show and things like that. So I think it's a great idea. And I do think it's great to do at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, and,
well,
and Bill is great too. He'll operate autonomously, and he'll do. You know, he won't be a pain in your neck. He'll.
Now he likes to talk, but that's okay.
right.
That's okay. but that's all I really have for right now. Next month, after I can ask Kelly to, when we can get together, we'll really have more hard numbers for you and things like that. But it's in line with John's budget.
Hey, Richard, that all sounds quite exciting. I like the idea of doing an external show at the beginning of the week, because that will be an excellent opportunity for us to sell tickets to people
yes.
that like the stuff.
Yes, I agree entirely that that's going to be an opportunity for us to garner goodwill and publicity to let the public know that towards the end of the week there's going to be incredible shows. I agree.
Okay.
So it's going to be another show. I suppose you're calling the Cascade of Stars.
Yeah, we'll still have the Cascade of Stars, yes.
Which we won't refer to, I guess, as the public show. There's another show called
that's a good point. I mean, we're not calling this hospital show the public show in any other way than it's for the public. I'm not sure Bill was talking about some name for it. So that's a good point, though. We got to make sure the public know they're invited to both.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
Come up with some name for it and then advertise that name rather than public show, and you can advertise both names.
Right.
Two shows.
Right.
And I assume it'll be different performers.
Yes, it will. I mean, the performers are going to be volunteer for the hospital show, as I will now call it. And there'll be people who maybe aren't the same level as the Cascade of Stars are working on it. So there'll be, I don't want to say lesser, but there'll be, we're going to solicit good jugglers and good acts. But there'll be two separate groups of acts, yes.
Yeah, the way we had envisioned it was Bill came to me with this idea and said this was something that the IJA had done in the past and had kind of gotten off track in recent years. And it's a benefit show. It doesn't really have anything to do with the festival or the attendees so much as we're in town and it's an opportunity for us to put on a show, raise some money for a charity, get some attention for ourselves. That's
exactly right. It's not so much for the attendees, although the ones who are there, could easily take advantage of going to see it. But that's exactly right, John. It's a separate kind of thing. But I think a very important publicity and goodwill, real goodwill.
Yeah, definitely.
Richard, this is Kim. Something else that a few of our members did last year, I had received a call right before the fest about a walk-a-thon that was going on for, it wasn't Cancer Society, but I forget what organization it was for. And all they did was ask if some of our people could come over and be part of the walk-a-thon, and for every juggler that showed up, for every hour that they were there, Starbucks donated $10. And there were a few of our people who went over, but this was a community event that was happening that we happened to be informed of. We let our membership know that this opportunity was there to go out and be part of a public goodwill type of thing. And a few of our people did it. So maybe Bon Jacobs could see if there's anything like that that's going to be going on at the time that we'll be there. Just to let our members know, here's some things happening in the community if you want to get in on it. Again, it's a goodwill gesture type of thing.
That sounds interesting, and if there's something that fits, I would go for it. I think we are going to, a lot of our resources, but if we get people to do the hospital show, that will be a big thing.
Yeah, right.
That reminds me that right in front of the convention center is a nice outdoor park where people have lunches, and we are looking at having a kind of teach-a-thon right there for people who are having their lunch. That's as far as we got on that table. We have use of that little park. The city is very excited about us coming. We are, I'm sure you all know this, we are considered a big convention in this convention center. And they're excited about that, but they're also really excited about jugglers and something different. And Todd did a great job with them because they love Todd. And so all that had already been paved when I went to visit. I'm going to jump subjects one last thing, and that is camping, which I have got a number of people calling me on. A few people. There is a campsite nearby, and I personally, this is just my philosophy, we will, make that known and where that is. But I'm not a huge advocate of going out of our way to encourage people to go camping. I did look for Bob Jacobs took me around and we found a place. It's not walkable. You can't walk there by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a short drive. So Kathy, yeah, it's available. It is available, but it's. I don't think we should be. Personally, we need to put beds and heads. Heads and beds. I'm sorry. That's where I need to go. So that's anyway. I did find it there. So it is there.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's, you know,
perfect.
We have a place. We can tell people where it is, and
good.
I'd like to comment on your timeline a little bit. I think what the deadline that you're looking at right now is the magazine issue that comes out. It goes to press right after Christmas, beginning of the new year.
Right.
And what goes into that is the registration fold out. And in order to have that ready, what you need to have cemented already are your daily schedule. So, you know, your list of all the shows that you're going to have and how they're going to be organized. And probably most important is your special guest.
Right.
So that's something that's probably what you want to look at nailing down next.
All right, John, that's great. I have been talking to people and about who that could be and how that would work. So, yeah. But I understand. I'm cognizant of the deadline. I'm very excited to get all the news out because I want people to think far in advance and come to this year's convention.
Okay. Just keeping you up to date.
I won't be calling you because Sandy's leaving the country to avoid my call, so I'm going to be calling you a lot. So. And I will say my job does indeed, after Saturday, it flips where I have very little to do, which is very great. So
right.
I've been, the last month here, I've been very busy, and that's coming to an end. So
yeah, that'll be perfect timing for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I'm willing to do the brochure. We call it the brochure that goes into the magazine. Again, having done it last year, I've got the format all laid out, and it won't be too bad to just replace text. But I would need, you know, the descriptive text for the guests and the shows and stuff like that.
Sure.
So you can just imagine, if you have a copy of last year's, look through it and, you know, figure out what things will be changing. Some things,
all right,
you know, description of the championships won't change much, but other things will be rewritten from scratch.
Yeah. The description of the championships won't change, but I'm sure we'll mention that judging is going to be new this year, and we'll see how that works. You know, we'll word that where it's nice, and it's exciting. It really is exciting.
Yeah, championships didn't change last year. It hasn't changed for a few years. It's time for it to change this year.
Right.
Well, Richard, this sounds really great, and thank you so much for doing all this legwork and for doing this entire job. This sounds really great, and we're behind you 100%.
I appreciate that, and I'll meet the deadlines. Don't fret about that, and I'll be calling you, John. I do have, you know, two suggestions. Unlike myself, who hasn't missed the convention for probably 10 years, but I did not go to last year's convention. I had to work. I do think it would be a smart thing if the person who was going to be the director went to the past year's convention just for a feeling of, I don't know, connectedness. I think once you do it once, we should endeavor to tempt and seduce and beg and cry and get people who've done it once to do it again a few years later, because then they'll really know what they're doing, I think.
Yeah, I agree on you. When I
say that, I'm talking to John, I think. But I do think, you know, I'm, you know, years from now, I plan on pitching a St. Louis convention, and I would be very excited, of course, to do it, and it would be really quite efficient if I did it, if I lived here too. So, and then I would know what I'm doing. So I think it would all work out good. Anyway, those are my two suggestions about that.
Okay, thank you very much, Richard. That's great.
Okay. And I'm going to go. It's very interesting to hear all this, and I would stay on, but I'm in a car driving towards North Carolina. So,
that's your one question?
Yes.
You said you'd pitch a St. Louis convention for which year?
Oh, I suspect, and this is just me presuming, that we'll probably have to do a east and a west, and then, you know, 2 or 3 years out. We have a local convention center here that's completed here in St. Charles, which is about 10 minutes from St. Louis, right on Highway 70. But they're also building other things right around it. And 2 years from now, it'll be a nice facility available to us probably in 2 years. But I do think a St. Louis convention would be a beautiful place based on airport and drivability.
St. Louis Convention in 91.
2010.
The biggest.
And 91 was a big convention.
Conventions we had.
Right. That's because St. Louis is like drivable in one day by like, I want to say 3/4 of the country or some huge number like that, which makes a big difference. I think if you drive in one day or 2 short days, that's a great thing.
It didn't hurt that Anthony Gatto and Sergey Ignatov were.
Yeah, it did not. It did not hurt. I was at that convention. No, it was a great thing. I got to sleep in my own bed every night. It was pretty remarkable. Yeah. But I do want to pitch that. 2010 sounds good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
We'll cross that bridge after we have 3 other wonderful conventions before. And Winston-Salem wants us back. They're like,
right.
Are you coming back? That's what she was asking me. I'm like, well, based on the report, it's the best convention we've ever had. So.
Great.
All right.
Well,
everybody
drive safely, Richard.
Thank you, and have a great trip. If I don't talk to you before you leave.
You betcha.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Chuck,
Richard.
Yes.
Chuck, I'm going to give you a call probably in the next couple days.
Okay, I'll be around.
Okay. All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's move on to committees. Is there any news from the bylaws?
I have a video report.
Video report. Okay, let's do that then.
It's a short one. The DVDs are ready. Alan delivered the last masters to me. Cover art is ready, except for a few minor changes, which are being done tonight. And I should have it in the mail this week. We should be looking at first week in December for delivery.
December?
First week in December, right. Final product delivery to attendees. They can do the direct shipping. They can do it first class. And I'm going to find out if they can send the Naranja order directly.
Cool.
Are you going to run the cover by me again?
Yes.
Okay.
That December 1st date, is that in the member's hand or in the post office's hand?
I would say post office's hand, first week in December.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty late.
Not really. I don't think it is. I mean,
it was very late.
Yeah. Well, last year and the year before was even later. Last year we got them. I got DVDs the about the 20th or 21st of December.
Right. Usually we try to get them out in November. I mean, I'm not quite sure why we're still going, why it's taking this long, but.
Neither myself nor Alan have been extremely in a hurry to get. There was one big snag with the performer's music from the Cascade of Stars. When Alan did the DVD, he included most of the performer's actual music from the Cascade of Stars, and I sent that out to four different reviewers, and all 5 of us missed it, simply because I think none of us were even looking for it. We had said all along during the copyright music situation that the reason we weren't worried about the Cascade of Stars is that we always set that show just a series of clips as a medley to one song, and we just use a copyright-free song. Anyway, Alan asked me to contact all the performers and find out which ones would give us permission to use music, which ones wouldn't, and a week after that, he changed his mind again, and he would just replace everybody's music. So there were a couple of weeks delay right there, but we haven't been in a tremendous hurry to get it done. I thought beginning of December was a good target date.
Well, I mean, the important thing, in some sense, is to be able to get them delivered before Christmas. But, we barely made that, and we didn't make it for some people last year.
I think last year, was last year the bulk rate issue, or was that the year before?
Yeah.
That was the year before.
Well, this year they assured me that they can get them out first class, and they should only take three to four days delivery all over the country.
Well, if that's what we got, that's what we're going with.
How long between the time they receive them and the time they mail them? How long does it take them to take the, give, you know, from the time you give them all the data?
They're saying 3 to 5 weeks.
3 to 5 weeks?
Right.
And which company is this?
All Media.
Okay, so last year we used R-Cube, and we've switched to
okay.
All Media.
Okay.
I think we used All Media.
What did we use All Media for? We used them for Juggle Vision?
Yeah.
We've used them.
And we've also used them for the main festival DVDs in the past, but last year we were using R-Cube.
Okay.
But there was some sort of issue that happened with R-Cube.
Yeah, they were.
There were a bunch. Yeah, I mean the bulk rate delivery issue
every
was
day.
Theirs.
Yeah.
So, and that is my entire video report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Sure.
So let's move on to Will.
Okay, I can give you a summary of our progress so far. What we've done is we've compiled a list of probably about 20 things that we would like to see discussed. And so the structure of our discussion is the broadest issues first, so that way if a big change does happen or whatever, then we can affect the more minor decisions. So far we've been looking at the biggest three things, which are whether to have a president. Another of those is adding an article of purpose. And then, let's see, I actually forget the third one right now, but it's similar in scope. Here, actually, I can pull it up in a second. Anyway,
sorry, Will, I don't have my computer in front of me, otherwise I could help you.
Someone suggested that we change the format of the bylaws in more of a bulleted section-by-section format. And so far, we have been slowed by Dave's recent messages as well as considerations that Robert Puhala brought up. But so far, it looks like nothing revolutionary is going to come out of our committee. So that's basically the status of what we're doing now.
Will, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at Maryland law? We're incorporated in Maryland, and whether that requires us to have a board of directors as a president?
I haven't yet. I think Kim mentioned.
I thought we were incorporated in Delaware. I'm sorry.
We are.
Sorry, did I say
Maryland?
Yeah, we're in Delaware.
Delaware, yeah.
Yeah, I think Kim said that we are required to have a board of directors, and so actually, we've only begun the initial discussion of it, but it was something that I had heard had been brought up before, so at this point we're still exploring what all the ramifications, or really, like, is there a need for it? So
we used to have a president and vice president, and back in the 80s we switched to a board of directors and a chairman, and that's around the same time that we actually incorporated. I don't know exactly when the incorporation happened, but for 30 years or something, the IJ was not incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it had like a constitution and bylaws, but it wasn't an official entity, legally, I suppose, or something. So when they incorporated, and then later they got nonprofit status, somewhere around there is when the change to the board of directors. It may have happened when they incorporated.
Yeah, my understanding of the way that can work is that you do have to have a board of directors, but how you structure it is open to interpretation. So you can have elected officers like a president, a vice president, and so on within the board of directors. And the argument usually is that you should elect a president and elect directors, or undifferentiated directors, so that people know who is going to be the president.
You mean a direct election by the members of a president?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rather than having the chairman of the board elected by the other board members. Personally, I'd be somewhat leery of that, just based on the number of people that are applying for nomination to our positions. I suspect that it would be difficult to get individual positions nominated. It certainly is in other organizations that I'm a part of.
Yeah, and I think so far from what our discussion has yielded, there is a similar hesitance to have anything other, like at most, maybe a name change from the board chair to also being president. I'm not sure. But, yeah.
At any rate, we can leave that safely in your committee's hands. One of the reasons that the last committee that I was on for bylaws foundered was a lack of attention by from board members. So I want you to feel that you have our full attention while you're doing this.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I have a question for you. Regarding the email that we got today, is there anything that you feel like you'd like to discuss with us in executive session right now regarding that? And if you want to, I'm fully open to having that happen.
I think at this point I'm okay. I've been emailing Don and Dave, and so it's been difficult to communicate with him my opinion. But I think at this point the executive session isn't necessary.
Okay.
Thanks for offering, Mel.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. If that's it for bylaws, move on to competition.
Yep. The form has been set up, and the private judging form has been set up, and we've had a couple of responses to it. I've got about 7 or 8 people outside of the board on the forum or on the judging committee. So I've gotten some responses, and some responses from specific people have been good. I've had upwards of over an hour conversation about different things with one of the members, and I've also received a lot of emails from the general membership as well as the people on the working group so I've posted a lot of those emails up on the forum after I get their permission to do so. That way everybody in the working committee and the board kind of knows what I know and sees what I see, and not that I necessarily agree with all of it, or sometimes, in some cases, I really don't agree with any of it, but I want everybody else to see it too. So that's up there as well. I'm still waiting to hear from a couple people outside the working group that I've emailed specifically about things. One of the guys is Paul from the Jugheads, leader of the Jugheads. I figured since he has at least 2 or 3 people or groups in competing each year, I wanted to get his opinion up front. So I'm waiting to hear from him and a couple other people. I plan on emailing the working group this week, by the end of the week, or by early next week, and saying, you know, if you have your comments, please get them in soon, because I want to post it to the general forum in the first week of November. Where we've come to, and from what I've been told, there's been a couple, you know, questions and critiques on some of the stuff that I've come up with, but no one's really pushing for a major change within the working group. So there's certainly things I want to add to some things that people have brought up and make some adjustments, but I'm hoping to get some more critique on it. But if I get it up in the first week in November, the timeline is 1 to 2 weeks for response from the general forum, and then really start hashing it out and nailing it out and having it done by the end of November. So I have a couple days to sort of have people reread it and edit it and do final stuff so it's ready for the next board meeting for approval.
Okay, that sounds like a good timeline.
Cool. And if you guys have any comments or thoughts on it, feel free to shoot them my way, or preferably up on the forum. So,
I really like your approach with the way you're including so much input from so many people, and I think that's just a great method.
I'm hoping to get some more input from some people, because I think if we get more input up front from the people that we've included who are really are people I view as passionate and have the reputation, you know, and the sort of resume to put their comments in earlier on, I think it'll be much better when we go to the general forum. So I'm hoping to get some good feedback from some people before, you know, kind of feeding it to the wolves and see how they go, more or less. But I'm interested to see what people generally think too. So, but I have had some discussions with people who disagree with me on certain points, and it's been interesting. So, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. I'm very excited for it though. But the best thing is that I really believe, even if I were to stop everything right now and go as is, I feel we're in a better place where we're going to be than where we are now. So, and we can always make adjustments next year if there's need some more tweaking. So,
great job, Chuck.
Professional job, Chuck.
Oh, and one other thing, which we'll bring this up in December, is I want to make sure that people know the changes are there, and so when someone shows up with the wrong stuff or not following the new system and doesn't understand it, they've had to miss 20 notices about it through every way we can get to them, so there's no excuses. So I want to make it abundantly, overly, redundantly clear the new rules and stuff we're going to be doing.
Right. It should be in every newsletter and every magazine.
Yeah, that's my hope once we get it nailed down.
And every festival announcement and the brochure.
And every IJA Facebook group.
We'll have Martin go door to door.
who changes to the championships now.
Didn't I tell you about that part about the working group, Martin?
No, I missed that.
That's what I have.
Chuck, have you talked to Alan Howard at all about doing something in the magazine about the changes?
No, I haven't. He is on the working group, and his response was that, I believe, isn't he working for a deadline right now for the magazine, or just finished?
Yes.
Then I think in the next week or two I'm going to have some more communication with him. But I knew up front when I asked him that I'm not getting much in, so I'll make sure to ask him about it and talk to him about it. But
yeah.
No, I haven't put it in for this magazine just because I don't want to put anything in until we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
probably what would be best is if he does an actual story about the, the new rules. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'll talk to him about it. Maybe we can get it in for next issue.
Okay.
It wouldn't be bad to have this issue mentioned that there's a working group working on this issue. I mean, if there's a place to put that in, even in a letter to the editor.
I could add that to the chairman's remarks.
Yep, that would be a good place to have it.
Does anybody know what the deadline for the magazine is right now?
Wednesday, today.
Okay. So
you could if you had something ready, I'm sure Alan would put it in. He might give you. Yeah, there might be a few days leeway.
The deadlines quite often slip.
Yeah.
Don, do you want to add it to the chairman just to make sure that it gets through and gets done?
Yeah, I'll do that.
That would be good. And then I'll talk to Alan for next issue about doing something much larger then too.
Okay.
And maybe a story. I mean, I could write it too, but. We'll see if that's the best. I'll talk to you guys in the email or board or the forums, and we'll figure out what's the best way to go about doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the next issue, not the one he's just finishing now, but the next one is basically the one where we have to get the rules into that issue.
Right.
That's the last one before the fest.
No, but there's one more before the fest, but that's the right time. I mean, you got to give competitors a certain minimum amount of time to prepare under the new system.
Right.
So that deadline for that is usually beginning of next year.
Yeah.
The real question is, you know, how do we want to showcase it? How are we going to introduce it? And that's what I think Alan needs to come in on and, give us some input.
I'll talk to him about it then.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Alan would like to write the article. He's certainly a good writer and and he's on the work group and has been involved with the championships a lot in the past.
Right. So
I mean, I don't know if he has time, but maybe the two of you together can write it.
Okay, thank you very much, Chuck. I'll mention the newsletter since it's popped up a couple of times. I think you've all seen that I put up a sample of the October issue. I'm not actually going to be home again until Monday, so I can't actually do anything to it now. But if you want to put anything in it, email it to me and I'll see that when I get home. So if you wanted to have like a paragraph or two on the competition rules or on subjects that the bylaw committee is working on, so on, that would be good.
You want comments emailed to you rather than posted on the forum?
Either way.
Okay.
Actually, the forum is probably just as good. I have been in touch with somebody at Lexington, and apparently they have a bunch of short articles that are available for putting in newsletters, and they have some pictures and so on. So each newsletter until Lexington, I'm going to try and have at least one page with at least something about Lexington in it.
Good. That's great.
All right. Moving on to new business, we have the proposals for a new comp policy for Lexington. Are we ready to go with that?
Yes.
Yep.
Somebody want
to
make...
I would like to make that motion. Let's see. Didn't I have that motion written down somewhere?
may have done. I'm not home.
Sandy moves to implement the comp proposal that has been presented to the membership and the board. The 2008 festival comp proposal. Anybody care to tweak that?
Yeah, are we referencing 2008 specifically, or is this just, this should be the comp proposal for all?
No, well,
beginning 2008.
Yeah,
I would say beginning 2008.
Yeah, if we do 2008, then the next board has to make a new proposal next year.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter to me because a new board's going to do whatever they want anyway, but as long as this is in place, I mostly just am concerned that, you know, for example, if we do need to tweak this, then it would be rewritten and revised by the next board. What are you recommending, Kim, having it be 2008, and what was the prefacing word?
Beginning.
Okay.
And then, because that can mean continuing past then.
Okay.
I think it should just be referred to as the comp, you know, directive or whatever you want to call it, but not even mention a year. It's from now on.
Okay.
And obviously, boards can change it in the future, so we don't need to worry about that.
Okay.
I think it's best to put it out there so that if nothing does get done by any future board, it's still in place.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if it's really an issue in the future, make the board take action to do it, not just say, well, this one's expired, so we can do what we want.
Right.
Because you put enough time, Sandy, you put enough time and thought into this, and we've all added on to it and put our own ideas into it, and, you know, it should sort of become the standard and let more effort override it.
Okay, I'm fine with eliminating the year. Kim, are you?
Yep, I'm fine.
Read back the motion.
Yeah, Janelle, could you read that back for us?
It states, Sandy Brown moves to implement the comp proposal that has been presented to the membership and the board.
Okay.
And this is Kim. I'll second that.
I just wanted to make one comment. I did send the board a slightly revised version, but the only thing I did was add on to non-festival-related comps. I added on the store manager per Scott Seltzer's recommendation, or not, he didn't really recommend it. He brought it up as a comment, and I agreed with him. So what happened? Discussion?
Sounds good to me.
I would like to discuss something.
Yes?
I just want to say that I do want to mention that Holly is the treasurer, and she is going to remain treasurer until a new one is found. Of course, there is a deadline. She has in her mind a deadline, but she would be, if she works 9 months as that treasurer, she will be given a comp.
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to be clear about that, that she has not resigned. She is still working as treasurer.
What she has done is given us notice that
she
would like us to find someone else.
Yeah.
Right.
But she's still working in the position, and that just needs to be made clear.
Right.
That's good. The board can always confirm, you know, whether that Holly should get a comp if there's ever any doubt. If she does get replaced at some point.
Right. And just another message or two comment is that, for example, the recording secretary. Now, I know that several years ago when Katya was the recording secretary, she did miss quite a number of meetings. And in that case, I would have a little bit of a difficult time saying, this merits a comp. But I think I'd like to keep this somewhat flexible enough so that we can go into the spring and say, well, yeah, the recording secretary, he or she has shown up for every meeting and they've written the minutes out, et cetera. And I'd like the flexibility to be able to include whomever we want to have a comp if we feel like they've deserved it.
I think that seems eminently reasonable, well within our purview.
And another mention, another comment. Does anybody here right now feel as though the non-festal related comps should give two to this list? I have written in this proposal that everybody will receive one, and this is, we're differing from the past 3 or 4 years. And, if this group felt strongly enough that, if everybody felt that really we should be getting two, I'm completely willing to listen. I'd like your comments.
This is Kim, and Sandy, you and I have talked about this already. I'm waffling on this part of it, all right? Our other halves all put up with a lot of bull and a lot of stress from us being on the board because of when we get stressed. So I can see where they deserve a comp. And yet, on the other hand, I can see where in the time that we're in now, the financial situation that we're in with losing the money from videos right now, maybe it's not warranted. So I can see it both sides. And for that reason, I just wanted to tell everyone, here's how I feel, but I'm kind of in the middle.
This is John. I'm fine with one. It's a reward for volunteering. I thought, let's not go overboard. Let's just rein it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because this is Chuck. My whole thought is, if you're doing this work for the comp, it's really not worth it. So, it's sort of like it's a nice gesture, but we don't need to go the gesture's there, one or two. So one is fine, and I agree.
And I think I almost said that same thing to you, Sandy. It's a gesture and nothing more. So that's why I could go either way.
Okay, good. Happy to hear that. Anybody else?
Are we ready to vote on this?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's have the motion reread, please.
Sandy Brown moves to implement the comp proposal that has been presented to the membership and the board.
Is there anybody against? Any abstentions? In that case, the motion carries. On to the next issue, which is the request that we received from Dave Davis last month. We had a considerable discussion in camera. We have looked into it. We have received legal advice that suggests that whereas Dave feels he has been libeled in a he had not. So I am suggesting that Dave's request is essentially without merit. So I believe what I will do is...
I'm sorry, Don. Could you please repeat that? There was that, whatever that noise was on the line.
I said we have had some legal advice pro bono, which the gentleman has looked over various postings and the pamphlet that was circulated and has looked at our general situation, and he believes that Dave's requests for relief from ongoing libel, effectively there is no ongoing libel. Clearly Dave is disappointed with the response that he is getting from people, but that in itself does not constitute libel.
Well, I would have to agree that with you, Don, that I think there's no merit there. And does anybody think otherwise?
Will Penman. Sorry about that. My phone just died, and I had to borrow my roommate.
Well, we're talking about Dave Davis.
Okay.
And Don had suggested that the situation has no merit, and I just agreed with him.
Okay.
And I asked, does anybody feel, does anybody disagree with that?
No, I do not disagree.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody has pretty much been in agreement all along that, you know, there's absolutely no merit to any of the claims that he's making. The question is, you know, how do we respond to it? Do we respond to it? Is there any reason to respond to it? Personally, I don't think there is, but apparently I'm in the minority.
Well, we have received a request from Dave. I think it's courteous to respond to that request formally. Since at the last meeting I agreed that we would have a response at this meeting. So what I'm going to suggest is that I will propose a motion, and we can vote on it. And the motion that I would propose would be, whereas the IJ has received a complaint from Dave Davis, and whereas competent legal advice has advised that the claim is without merit, be it resolved that a response be sent to Mr. Davis indicating that his complaint has been investigated and has been found to be without merit.
Well, I fully support that response. I think it's overkill, but that should wrap it up cleanly.
Does that mean you're seconding my motion?
I second the motion.
Is there any discussion?
I agree. This is Chuck. I agree that that'll take care of it. My only reservation is that'll take care of this one. My concern with response, I'm in agreement with John. I think responding is going to only encourage more, but, you know, if we want to take this, and this is what everybody wants to do, I'm more than happy to support it. If it continues down the line, my feelings may change in terms of supporting this, but especially if we get more claims without merit. So, but yeah, I'll support it right now.
Yeah, I would agree with Chuck and John. I don't personally choose to respond personally to Dave's emails or posts or anything, and I won't.
But as a member of this board, I think it's the professional thing to do in this circumstance. But I think we're treading on water, and I think that, as we've learned in the past, this is kind of creates its own avalanche. But I would support this motion.
Yeah, and I agree as well. He filed a complaint to the board. You know, we have to respond. I feel that we, just out of courtesy, need to respond. We told him that we would investigate, and we have, and just a very simple response is all he needs back.
I also agree, especially with the intent of trying to stop it. I think that's the biggest thing that we all agree on, is that somehow we're trying to resolve it. I don't think that silence is the best way. I don't know if this is the best way, but I think this is the best that we can do right now. So I support the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any further discussion? In that case, let's do the vote. Are there any opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Varia, does anybody have any Varia? Has it been fine since the beginning?
This is Kim. Just wanted to, may I give everyone a quick update on the insurance?
Yes.
We have had a small flurry of activity with the insurance just recently, within the last week or two. The Philadelphia Jugglers did buy the IJA insurance for their festival as well as for their club for the year, and Jackie Erickson was very happy, he told me, with the service he got from Dale Wittick and from people there at the company. I have had since then Jason Cullum and several other IJA members contacting me about the insurance. So far, we're up to about 10 insurance policy holders, which isn't a whole lot, but the Clown Insurance, Clowns of America, their insurance policy, all of their policies renew on May 1st. So I'm going to be starting to put more things into the newsletter and that to remind people that, you know, upon their policy renewal, they can come over to the IJA insurance for a less expensive rate. They don't have to pay for multiple insureds, and they can get coverage for their equipment and their home offices and a whole bunch of other stuff that is not covered through the Clown insurance. So it's starting to happen slowly, but at least it's starting to happen.
Good. I think that has good progress. Like, this seems to be the thing that would increase most by word of mouth, which only happens as people sign up for it. So I'm excited to see, like, Jackie Erickson, Jason Cullum, people who are active in the community signing on, because I think as it works out for them, they'll be interested in also letting other people know.
Right. And we've got to get it out there, be outside of the IJA as well, to other jugglers who are not IJA members, because part of this was to encourage people to join the IJA. And we did have one person who is not an IJA member who inquired about the insurance. However, he was not able to access any of the insurance information unless he was a member. So I did contact David Landown, and we now have the information page in a non-members portion of the website, and it's only the application and payment information that's in a members-only section.
I think we haven't particularly done a very good job of publicizing this.
Mm-hmm.
There was an ad, a one-page ad, which looked like a, you know, a piece of a formal contract in Juggle, and it just didn't come across as saying the board encourages you to use this new insurance. It looked like an advertisement, except for the fact that it said had the IJ logo on it, which is very good and very important. But I think I don't know. Was this in your news, in your column, Don? Was that? I don't think it was mentioned.
I don't think it was either.
So I think it's just some informal comments that say, rather than just the formal thing that was that's online as well as in the advertisement.
Right. And that's why I want to put more into the newsletter and try and find some other avenues. I did post on rec juggling because that's where the discussion actually came up. Jason Collum was saying, listen, my insurance wants $50 for me to add an insured's name onto my policy for every extra insured I get. And he was looking for something new. And people on rec juggling did not realize that we had the insurance. Dave Altman is another one. He's starting to form a juggle club down by him and will be teaching juggling and needs insurance. So he's going through our company. But it is word of mouth, but we also have to get it out there in other ways and other venues to IJA and non-IJA members. So I'm going to be doing some brainstorming if anyone thinks of some ways we can get it out there.
Sure, let's take an ad in the clowning newspaper.
Yeah.
Hey, Kim?
Yes.
Could you get a little short something into Don by Monday or Tuesday? Just to start to get this hounded into people, let them know about it in the newsletter?
Yeah, in fact, I can get that out probably by Friday.
Cool.
Good. Is there any other barrier?
I think we need to authorize Todd Strong to develop a contract with Winston-Salem for 2009?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Do we need to vote on it on Winston-Salem first?
Yeah, I don't know if we need a proposal or I don't know what we need in this case.
I think we need a proposal.
Is there an actual proposal from Winston-Salem that...
Yeah.
There is. There was an initial proposal which we would not probably would not accept as is, but we gave them a few negotiating points and they said they can do that. They haven't come back to us with a firm a firm contract with those points in it yet. But my understanding from the committee is that they really have not found anything else that even comes close. And they just think the next move is to focus on Winston-Salem and develop a contract.
Well, let's authorize them to develop a contract because we're going to have to authorize the final contract anyway.
Right.
And I had a message from Todd, but I hadn't been able to get back to him. But from what I understood, it looked like Winston-Salem was more advantageous than any other site seemed to be presented.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't gone back to a place quickly in our entire history.
Well, that's not true, but maybe it's true since we've been going to convention centers. In the 60s and 70s and probably the 50s and the 50s, we certainly went to the same place two or three times in a row.
Sure.
But it was in the backyard.
Yeah, it's in the 40s and 50s, we were in the same backyard almost every year.
Well, we've developed an expectation that we're going to be moving around. So if we quickly don't move around quite so much, I'm sure that there will be comment.
It's definitely an experiment, yeah.
And it's worth trying. You know, if this is the advantageous site compared to other sites, let's at least try going back to a place. We got good press in terms of... The feedback,
mm-hmm.
the members. So I think we should be in reasonable shape to do that. I would like to see some discussion of that on the open forum. But at this point, let's authorize Todd to go ahead and with the presumption that we will go there.
Sounds good. How do we do that?
Well, we need a motion first, right?
I would think so.
Okay. I will propose that Todd Strong be authorized to develop a contract with Winston-Salem, with Twin City Quarter Management in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to to have our annual festival there in 2009.
Okay, I'll think of that.
Just a comment. I just want to make sure that this motion doesn't confirm that we will definitely go there.
No.
This is merely the authorizing of negotiation for the contract.
That's right. So we will have to actually sign the authorize the signing of the contract in a
right.
separate step.
Right.
Okay, is there any discussion? Are there any opposed? Are there any abstentions? In case the motion carries. Any more, Varia?
This is Chuck. I have one more thing to bring up, and that is it's sort of related to the competitions, but, well, it is, but it's different. It's the issue of copyrighted music.
Yeah.
That's one thing that'll be put into the rules if we decide to keep the same rules as we have, as we did last year. One thing I do want to publicize, though, which I found this out of Philadelphia when I talked to John, was that the team that got third place this year, Genetic Fallout, it was a teenage brother and sister, performed up on stage, and when I heard the music, I thought to myself, that sounds really familiar.
Yep.
turned out to be Fallout Boy, which, if you don't know who that is, they've sold millions of records. And are
one way off famous for them to have permission for that.
Right, and they had to get permission for it, and they did. And they bought permission to use it, and they got it from Sony, I believe Sony.
Wow.
And so I think that's a good example, which I'm going to talk. It looks like the father from emails I've seen had did a lot of the runaround work and basically talked to the guy at Sony and said, you know, look, it's going to be in a show. It's going to be there for 1,000 DVDs. Please let us use it for a small fee. And he got it. And he got all the permission and all the paperwork for it. And they actually did that for two songs. The other one is a instrumental that was mended in. So I think that's a good example to think, you know, you don't necessarily have to use copyright-free music. You just have to. It's a little bit more work to do it legally. And if you're not familiar with Fall Out Boy, they're one of the most popular pop rock bands right now. So it's pretty significant. Sort of getting corporate America to help out the IJA. So regardless of if we do go that way, I definitely want to. The other option is to just dub over the stuff for video, and with the idea that, you know, the competition is really about the night, and people should be able to use what they want to, and as long as we have the same licensing that we had for last year, it'll cover us, which I'm assuming that we will. Correct, John?
I guess that would be up to Richard, but there's certainly no reason not to. It's under $200, covers the entire festival for the whole week for virtually every song on the radio.
But that's just ASCAP, or is it both BMI? Is it BMI as well?
BMI and ASCAP together is less than $200 for the week.
And then, you know, anybody can basically use almost any music that they want. The downside is that, you know, the videos will suffer. And so will it hurt our video sales? But then at the same time, will it make the competitions better? But then there's also an argument that, you know, it may be painful the first couple of years, but once people get used to it, they'll get better at it, they'll understand it, and maybe it'll be better in the long run just to sort of bite the bullet up front and have people get used to that. I don't know the answer. I'm sort of torn. I couldn't imagine myself doing competitions again having to use non-copyrighted music. So, I think it's something that needs to be discussed and thought about. So I'm just putting it out there to think about it, and we should bring it up and maybe even put it to the general forum. I don't know about that, but that's my thought.
Yeah, as the video coordinator, I'm very seriously thinking about creating a motion that will counteract Andrew's motion of last year concerning the copyright music. This year, although some determination was made at some point that no competitor would be allowed on stage unless they had proven that we could use their music ahead of time, The results are that we had to dub over about half of the acts in the competitions. That's because, you know, whether it's because permissions weren't collected. In some cases, I know they were promised later. You know, which is just the kind of situation that we can't have. And so what we ended up with is a DVD that is heavily dubbed with copyright-free music over people's acts. And that's what we were trying to avoid, and we put the competitors through, you know, a very painful process trying to avoid it, and did not avoid it. The other thing is that I talked to a number of the performers. One of the rationales that Andrew used was that we would be doing competitors a service by getting them used to using copyright-free music. And apparently, professional performers don't worry about that because every place they go has BMI and ASCAP licenses in effect at all times. And they're allowed to perform their copyrighted music wherever they go. So we're not doing the competitors any benefit at all by forcing them to use copyright-free music. This is something that will probably come up at the next meeting.
And regardless of what the rules are, I want to have something in the competition rule that states all necessary forms or something to sound something like this. I want to say all necessary forms are required before entry is considered, and if entry is not complete, they don't even get their prelim looked at, whether it's on video or if it's on DVD or it's in person, they won't even be considered unless that thing is filled out correctly. Yep. And if that, whatever the case is,
right,
but we won't have these issues.
Okay, that sounds like a good issue to bring up on the open forum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember we went through a long discussion of all of that last year when we first brought up the idea of having copyright taking care of music. I think thanks for bringing that up again, Chuck, of just making sure that really is what we're after, of having a good DVD instead of maybe just a good act, and at the expense of, like John was saying, a heavily dubbed DVD, really isn't that much fun to watch.
Well, and there's no perfect solution, because we have to do it legally. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think everybody just put it in the back of your head, start thinking about it a little bit, because it's going to come up soon.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that if we had said competitors are not allowed on stage without this proof, our competitions would have been very thin.
And I think it's something we really need to advertise, you know, in the same vein that we do the competitions, and advertise those about the changes, and, you know, let people know every way that we can that this is serious and there aren't exceptions for this, whatever we decide.
Yeah, I think talking to competitors, like I just entered the individual prop stuff this past year, but talking to other people, they seemed surprisingly on board of having to go through or being willing to make sure that their music was copyright free. And so even though that didn't end up working out the way that we had originally wanted it to, I know that a lot of people were prepared and didn't have really strong feelings about how they couldn't use the same kind of music as they would have in years past.
I heard some music in the championships that sounded very familiar too, classical music, I believe. And what Andrew said to me was that some of that music came from Eastern European bands, orchestras, or whatever that record, you know, classical pieces and then sell it royalty free. So it is available, that sort of music. You don't, as long as you're not buying it from, you know, the Philadelphia Philharmonic or something.
Right. Yeah, but then still acts set to classical music are not particularly entertaining.
Well, I mean, there's other types of music as well. So I'm just saying that you know, that is possible.
The music is clearly out there. It doesn't necessarily have the same punch as something that's on the top 40 in the same month.
Yep.
Well, you know, think about this issue again this year as you watch the championships on DVD when they come out, because I did miss a lot of the championships this year, but when I watched them on DVD, I was shocked. The music was terrible. I mean, the show suffered. In my opinion, they suffered tremendously because of the music.
Well, the DVD will suffer tremendously. Go back to the other one.
It'll suffer even more because a lot of that bad music has to be dubbed over, music that the act is not set to.
Well, if we could go to what these music companies simply say, look, we're putting out 2,000 videos of juggling, and the music is expensive. How much are you going to charge us? Only like $5 a DVD. Maybe we can survive that.
You mean going to BMI and ASCAP?
Yeah.
My understanding is that that's not a possibility. That what they want to charge for that is outrageous.
And it's not BMI and ASCAP. I think you have to go to the copyright holders.
BMI and ASCAP can only license you for live performances. For actual publication, you have to go to the holder of the copyright of the there are two copyrights. One is the person who performed it, and one is the person who composed it. And you have to get permission directly from them or their legal representatives.
And if there are separate lyricists and music writers, it's three different places you have to go.
Right, right.
So it sounds like it's an essential impossibility.
For the most part, I mean, you know, there are situations like Genetic Fallout were able to go to those people and get their permission. But that's going to be the exception, not the rule.
And it shouldn't be our work to go and get that permission.
Right, exactly.
We're putting our videos out 2 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's cogitate on this. Not going to solve that one tonight. Any other variant? In that case, shall we discuss the date of the next meeting, which is tentatively suggested to be December 5th?
That would be fine with me. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually like the idea of combining November and December.
Ooh, can we combine those whole months? Just get the whole thing over with really fast.
Is there a second to that?
I'm not sure Delaware law allows you to do that.
I'm sitting in Delaware right now, so I assume that we can.
Don, did you get the stuff I sent?
I did, thank you, Sandy.
Excellent.
A nice selection of things that I'll do for the Montreal Festival and the Quebec City Festival. Okay, so barring disagreement, we will meet again on December 5th at 8 o'clock as usual. So I will now entertain a motion for adjournment.
That's 8 o'clock Eastern time for those different time zones.
That's right.
Move to adjourn. This is Jerry.
If there's no objection to adjourning, I will declare the meeting adjourned.
Wonderful.
Looks like it is 9:48 Eastern time.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Very nice, productive meeting.
Good work.
Yeah. Good night.
Nice work, everyone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.